Season 2 of Love in Context podcast welcomes you. Get ready for engaging, unscripted conversations with your hosts, Ben and Spencer. Our mission remains unchanged: to explore the Bible through the powerful lens of love.
In this new season, we'll embark on a journey together, unearthing fresh insights and gaining deeper understanding of how we can love God and live out our faith in practical ways.
So let's dive into this season of Love in Context, where love and the context of the Bible intersect to transform our lives.
Hey there, and welcome back to Love in Context podcast with Ben and Spencer. Spencer has a chocolate chip cookie given to us by an awesome lady in our church, and he's going to crunch and munch and eat it all up in the microphone today. He can't say anything. Well, if you're watching this on YouTube, you can actually tell he can't say anything because he got ready to, but then he realized his mouth is full and he will sound absurd.
The cookie was delicious, though.
Cookies are delicious. Mm-hmm. We are in week 3 of our covenant series. Yeah. We've talked about the Abrahamic covenant. We talked about the Noahic covenant. And today we're going to be talking about the... I said Abrahamic.
We're talking about Abrahamic today.
We're talking about Abrahamic today. We talked about Adamic and Noahic. And now today we're going to be talking about the Abrahamic covenant.
Do you even read your Bible?
I do sometimes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. It's the Cliff Notes version Bible.
Okay.
Yeah. You ever think, have they actually made that? That'd be interesting to look
up. I don't know, but like, I'm a bullet point personality, and like something like that would be intriguing to me. I'd also be like, I would take it with a very large grain of salt.
It's probably like the Cliff Note version would be like the Bible Project.
Yeah.
Read scripture videos, which are really good. I like those a lot.
Yeah.
So just a reminder what covenants are. Covenants are a binding of like a promissory, like, hey, you do this and I'll do this between two individuals. And the ones we're exploring right now have been between God and humanity. In the first case, it was between God and Adam being the prototype of all humans. Then it was with God and Noah. Noah being the one who is going to represent Earth moving forward. And that's why the Adamic and the Noahic covenant are linked, because one's separated by the flood.
Yep.
But then we're going to get into this Abrahamic covenant, and it starts to get even, we've talked about how like they're really personal, but this one actually starts to get even more personal, right? Because instead of dealing with humanity, you're actually going and narrowing down, and God's actually dealing with one family. Mm-hmm. Now, if you remember from last year when we were in Torah, you're going to remember a lot of these stories, and I would highly recommend that before you check this out, maybe go back and listen to a few of our Genesis episodes on Abraham. Because we're going to be talking about the covenant specifically and referencing things that we think you probably already know. But those are season 1, and it's right towards the beginning of our episodes, like episodes like 4 through 5 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But reminder, the initial origins of the covenant. So there's in Genesis chapter 12, we're introduced to this guy named Avram. His name is not Abraham yet. It's just Avram. And God calls him. He comes to him and he says, go to the place I'm going to show you. Mm-hmm. And essentially, it's like, go start walking, and I'll tell you when to stop.
Yeah.
And if you go, I'm going to bless you so that all nations are going to be blessed through you. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to do something in your family that's actually going to bless everybody.
Yeah.
This is the setup to this covenant that God is making with Avram.
Mm-hmm.
And to Avram's credit, and I think one of the key things about his character is that he trusts God, and he goes.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, Avram, of course, doesn't always trust God, but in this case, he does trust God, and he goes.
Yeah.
And that's going to be really important as we kind of go through and talk about this covenant. Years pass, and then in Genesis 15, Avram is getting a little surly.
Yeah.
Is that a good way to say it, maybe?
Yeah.
God comes, and he says, behold, I am your shield and your mighty, you know, mighty savior. And Avram's like, really? Because I don't have a kid.
Uh-huh.
You definitely said something about a kid.
Yep.
Right? You definitely, like, by the way, this is the BLT, Ben's Living Translation. Mm-hmm. It's not to be confused with the bacon, lettuce, tomato, which is also a lovely sandwich, but not a Bible translation. He says, I don't have a kid, and Eliezer of my household is actually going to be the one who inherits everything I got.
Mm-hmm.
And God says nothing, which is, by the way, if you go back to those episodes, you'll know that there's a time that has passed where we talk about this Hebrew when God says, and then God says, mm-hmm. right? So then Abraham says again, he's like, hey, I don't have anybody who's going to inherit my stuff. And God sets up, has Abraham set up this blood path covenant, which we talked about.
Yeah.
I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about it because we did talk about it in a previous episode.
Mm-hmm.
He sets up this blood path covenant, and Abram, as the lesser party, should be the person who goes and walks through the covenant.
Yep.
But he doesn't, because we know that he falls asleep and that he has to shoo away the wild animals who are coming after the carcasses, mm-hmm. which means they've been there for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the deep sleep, we see that God reaffirms his covenant with Abraham,
yep.
Abram at this point. And he says that he's going to be the father of many nations, that if you can count the stars, all the things that go with it. And it says that Abram believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then it says that a blazing fire and a smoking pot walked through the blood path covenant, right? Walked through the pieces of animal.
Mm-hmm.
So what actually happens there, and we talked about, which is really important for our understanding of theology and understanding of the character of God, is that God actually walks both sides of the covenant.
Mm-hmm.
He walks through as the one who is being granted something and the one who is granting something.
Yeah.
And essentially what this means is that this covenant will not fail.
Mm-hmm.
God is going to be the one to uphold both sides of it.
Yeah. Well, and in this covenant also, it doesn't just, it's not just Genesis 15.
Correct.
Like it starts, you hinted at it, it started back in Genesis 12 with mm-hmm. the call. It actually runs all the way through Genesis 17 and actually has a test of faith in Genesis 22.
Correct.
So it's a covenant, understanding this covenant means you have to understand about 10 chapters of scripture.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and the rest of the Bible. But you really have to understand about these 10 chapters.
No, what Spencer just said is you only have to understand 10 chapters of the Bible to understand covenants.
Nope. Is not what I said at all. Not at all. Ben is putting words in my mouth.
Mm.
Uh-huh. He's trying to make me say things that are not true. But you need to understand that it's not just like, okay, we read it in these 5, 6, 7 verses, whatever.
Right.
Right. Like it's a covenant that is happening over a long period of time.
Well, and I think you could even say that the entire book of Genesis is going to be this covenant coming back over and over again. Of course, mm-hmm. yes, in the life of Abraham. But yeah. then when in the life of Isaac, he comes and reaffirms, he's like, I am the God of your father, Abraham. And then when he yeah. gets to Jacob, he says, I am the God of your father, Abraham and Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And he reaffirms it with each generation. Then he comes, of course, then with Joseph, the God of your father, mm-hmm. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Right?
Yeah.
Like, it's this family is understanding, is getting ingrained in them that there is a covenant between them and Yahweh,
mm-hmm.
right? Of course, they don't know Yahweh's name yet, but
yeah.
we'll get that in Exodus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so one of the things about this covenant is that it's unconditional.
Correct.
Right? From God, from who God is to us, it's an unconditional covenant.
Yeah.
It will be fulfilled.
Correct. I think if you were going to say there is a condition on the covenant, it says when God says go, you go, and mm-hmm. as you go, he will bless you as you go.
Yes.
In other words, as you live into the word that he gives you, mm-hmm. he's going to work through you to bring all of creation back to himself.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
This, by the way, is the call of the Jewish people from the very beginning. Like, they are meant to be in the crossroads of the earth. God puts them in Israel, which is a really weird place to put a civilization, unless you realize that all the ancient roads go through Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to give a civilization that's supposed to transform everything, where do you put them?
In the middle.
In the middle. Which, let's just take a pause there. Then if we are followers of Christ and we bring this kingdom of God to places and we're supposed to be interacting with people and changing them by bringing the kingdom of God places, where do we go and stand?
In the middle of it.
In the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think often, and I want to really say this carefully because I think there's good reasons. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times we go to our churches for safety, security, to not be in the world, or you say we want a bunch of believers around us because it's too hard to work out in like these types of things. But our call is to actually go and be amongst the least of these,
mm-hmm.
right? To go and bring light to darkness, peace to chaos, love to hate.
Yeah, and the Bible actually does not have very nice things to say for those who don't.
Correct. Right?
Like Matthew 25, when Jesus is separating the sheep from the goats, he lays out the same accusations for both sides.
Mm-hmm.
One fulfilled them, one did not. And all those had to do with being with the least of these.
Correct.
And with the people who needed Jesus. And when we neglect that, God's like, okay, that's cool, but I don't really know you.
Well, and I think with that mm-hmm. same idea, the reason that when you don't engage in these types of activities, because yes, those activities themselves, those are good things to do, mm-hmm. Feeding people, giving them something to drink, clothing them, visiting them when yeah. they're sick or in jail, like those are all really good things. But they're prototypes of Jesus is where people are that are broken.
Yeah.
Like, that's where he is. That's where God is at work, is in broken people.
Mm-hmm.
And he's looking at bringing them back. Jesus makes a statement. It says the doctor doesn't come for the healthy.
Mm-hmm.
He comes for the sick.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are carrying medicine, what are you doing hanging out with people who are well?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Right now, of course, I don't want to take that too far. You 100% fellowship of believers, having like your community, all those things. But you exist to go and penetrate the darkness.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we, coming back to Genesis here,
mm-hmm.
You talked about it a little bit, but there is a faith element to this covenant, right?
Absolutely.
Right.
Especially when you think about the sign of the covenant,
mm-hmm. uh-huh.
which uh-huh. we'll get to in a minute.
Uh-huh. But Genesis, so in Genesis 15:6, which you read earlier, mm-hmm. It says, Abram believed the Lord and credited it to him as righteousness.
Right.
Right? So there is a faith element of Abram being like, okay, I believe what the Lord is saying is true, and mm-hmm. he's going to fulfill this. Right?
Right.
He Now, did Abram see that?
Not in his lifetime.
Not in his lifetime. Isaac didn't even see that in his lifetime. Jacob mm-hmm. didn't see that in his lifetime. Or Jacob started to. Joseph started to see more.
Yeah, he saw more.
Yeah. And so as each generation passed, they see more and more of this covenant fulfilled, right?
It's interesting, too. So you pointed out, it says, Abram believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. So at this point, boom, like, Abram believes God, and God's like, mm-hmm. cool, it's sealed,
yeah.
right? Two chapters later, he's going to have him take on the sign of the covenant,
mm-hmm.
right? Which, by the way, is circumcision, if you're not familiar,
mm-hmm.
which is not great.
We're not going to go into detail.
We're not going to go into detail on that, but suffice it to say that if a bunch of people Abram was like 90-something, and he has to have it done, right? It's not a great experience.
Ouch.
Right? And it's also, I like with, we were talking about in Noah, it's a covenant they can't lose.
Uh-huh.
Because once you have done it, it's going to be really hard to cover that up.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
But this is really important because Paul is going to talk about this in Galatians.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really important to understand the argument that he's making in the book of Galatians.
Yeah.
He talks about how Abraham's faith was counted as righteousness, and those who have faith are children of Abraham. Now, yeah. children of Abraham being people who are grafted into this tree, right? Mm-hmm. We've talked about, I think maybe in the past, we talked about how in Galatians he's addressing three groups of people. He's talking to the Theosebes, is like the God-fearing Gentiles. He's talking to the people who have actually stepped into and chosen to be Jews, and then the yeah. people who are Jewish by birth.
Yeah.
Right. And he says that if you have faith in Abraham, you are children of Abraham. And that's a really big statement to his Jewish audience.
Yes.
Right. That it's not actually going to be circumcision. It's not going to be observation of the law. It's not going to be any of these different things, because prior to all of that,
mm-hmm.
Abraham believed.
Yeah.
And it was the belief that justified him.
Yep.
And that's super important, because then he says, now if then the blessing of Abraham has now come to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, emphasizing faith. And so then he says, you are not justified by the works of the law, these things that make you Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, of course, works of the law, I might need to have a quick thing here. Works of the law is not referring to the entire Torah. It is referring to the things specifically that make you Jewish. Having circumcision, not wearing blended fabrics, not cutting the ends of your field, the things that are expected of the Jewish people specifically,
mm-hmm.
not necessarily of the whole population. But Paul says, it is not these things. It's not these things. It's not the observation that makes you Jewish that justifies you, but it's actually your faith in Jesus Christ, that you are trusting in the faithfulness of Jesus Christ to redeem you through your life. It's that trust that actually makes you righteous in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And it, just like that, mm-hmm. as soon as you trust Jesus, you place your identity on him, then you are carried with his blood to the very throne room of God.
And at that moment, you're grafted into this covenant, which brings us to the purpose, like, what's the purpose of this covenant?
Yeah.
Which comes down to the blessing of all nations.
Right.
You got to rewind back to Genesis 12 on that. But where God talks about how he's going to bless all nations through the work of Abram.
Right.
Right? And that through Abram's line came Jesus, right, the Son of God, who came, died for our sins, so that we can put our faith in him and be grafted into this covenant to see this covenant fulfilled. Like, that's one of the really cool things about this, is it's not just for the Jewish people.
Correct.
Right? And that's what Paul is really getting at in Galatians. It's like, this covenant is for all nations, coming back to Genesis 12.
And there's a lot of really, like, Paul is addressing some things that are really questionable mm-hmm. that are happening in Galatia. So we're not going to get into that in this episode. Sometime we'll
That's
do it.
That's like a whole other series.
Yeah, we'll do an episode on a couple episodes on Galatians and talk about mm-hmm. that. I think it's, you know, this whole thing about justification through faith. So we just came through James. So in Romans 4, Paul's going to make the same argument from a different perspective, because he's talking to people in Rome, mm-hmm. right, not Galatia. And he's like, Abraham's justified by his faith, not by his works, and he's setting a precedent for all the believers moving forward. Now, if you remember back in the Protestant Reformation, that is one of the driving points for Martin Luther's thesis, yeah. right? Now, however you feel about Martin Luther was correct about one thing, is that your justification, your salvation, your redemption is not done by anything you do yeah. except to place your trust in the faithfulness of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
But there is an obligation when you're a part of that covenant to go and bless, and yes. as you're blessed, bless other people.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. To actually transform the world by bringing the kingdom everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
The work is a result of the change. Mm-hmm. The work doesn't create the change.
Yeah, and there's something to be said, too, that don't be discouraged if you don't see drastic change, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, Abram, he mm-hmm. didn't see drastic change. Isaac didn't see drastic change. Jacob a little bit more. Joseph more.
Mm-hmm.
And as this covenant became more and more fulfilled, there's more drastic changes that were happening.
Right.
Sometimes when we're following Jesus, there's moments where a big drastic change is going to happen. You'll see hundreds of people come to follow Jesus right away. Other times, it's years of conversations with two or three people before they're like, you know what? I think there's something to this.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's one of those things where we can read about covenants like this and be like, the whole world's going to be blessed, and we can get in our heads thinking that, like, okay, when I step into this, then all of a sudden I'm going to have those Billy Graham moments where, like, I'm evangelizing to millions of people. When really nobody talks about the person who led Billy Graham to the Lord, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, there's so many different things. Yeah. Or the parents who gave Billy Graham the ability to grow up and be able to attend something
uh-huh.
where he engaged the Lord.
Yeah, so... like, but the point being is, like, what is the Lord, when you step into this covenant, what does the Lord put in front of you?
Right.
And how are you living in faith?
Right. I think to redirect what you're saying in just a different avenue is, I think sometimes we think, okay, this call means that I need to go do great things. It's like, no, it's not the things you do. It's the quality of the person doing them.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like we were talking about this in our small group, and I said, you know, we are always like, oh, you know, I should preach or do this or teach and go on a missionary. It's like, all those things are great.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, but if you're doing activity to be valuable, then you're missing what we actually want to see, which is, we want to see hearts that look like Jesus, that everything you do is like Jesus is doing it.
Well, I think we need to redefine a couple things here.
Yeah, let's do it.
So one is, yeah, the heart posture. Coming back to that, like, when you lean into this covenant, you are entering into relationship with God.
Yeah.
You're entering into a covenant relationship with God to where you and him are the most important thing.
Yep.
Right? Everything else is second. So if you're trying to do things, if you're trying to do the works of the Lord apart from the Lord, you're missing, you're like, there is a fundamentally a huge piece that you're missing, and that is God.
Right.
Right? Let him work that in you. And what you're going to find is, as you lean into your relationship with God, you are naturally going to do the works of the Lord.
Yeah.
Right? Those are going to become more natural inclinations. Now, the second thing I think we need to redefine is, like, what is great works,
mm-hmm.
right? Because oftentimes we quantify great works by quantity.
Yeah.
By how many people are attending, how many people are doing this, how many are doing that. When in reality, most of the conferences I've gone to, I can't tell you what the person talked about. But I can tell you the great conversations I've had with people around a table at a coffee shop.
Mm-hmm.
With that one person who said, hey, you know what? I'm going to spend time with Spencer because the Lord's putting him on my heart.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you the times I've had great conversations with other people because the Lord said, hey, I want you to reach out to them, spend some time with them, talk Jesus with them, right? Great things does not mean quantity.
Right. The whole thing is, like, your work that you're called to do, if you actually believe that God is your master, like, you invite him in your life to be sovereign, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then whatever he calls you to do is the great work.
Yeah.
Like, if that's scrubbing toilets, it's scrubbing toilets. That's the great work.
Exactly.
Right? Like, it is all, like, we're not the king, so the king gets to tell us what the great work is. Mm-hmm. But we are all a family working together to build the kingdom, mm-hmm. right? And bring his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, mm-hmm. right? I love the way that you said that because there's this temptation, I think, in Christendom to try to earn what God has freely given. Mm-hmm. And it's got to be frustrating. Can you imagine with your spouse, right? If like you were constantly like, oh, I've got to do more for her so she realizes that she didn't make a mistake with mm-hmm. me, right? Like to really earn this affection that she's given me freely.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how frustrating that would be as like the receiving party?
Mm-hmm.
Like you're like, no, I chose you.
Mm-hmm.
We're together. Now let's go forward and do life together.
Mm-hmm. So
you don't have to. You don't have to earn my love.
So this I think relates to what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
One of the things that drives me up a wall when people talk marriage
mm-hmm.
is they're like, oh, it's a 50-50 commitment.
Nope.
I was like, no, that's a divorce.
Yeah,
like that's a divorce. A marriage is a 100-100 commitment. Like you're each giving 100% to this.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, yeah.
And like, I mean, I can speak for my spouse. I've ticked my spouse off before.
Mm-mm.
I'm sure.
I've heard from her.
Yeah. I'm sure you've ticked your spouse off before too.
Never. Never.
Our families are also pretty close. I'm pretty sure I've ticked your spouse off before too. So, you know, but a marriage relationship, a covenant relationship is not you coming in and being like, all right, here's the 50% I'm going to contribute to this.
Right.
It's not a business deal where you're like, hey, I own 35% of this company.
Yeah.
And so here's my commitment and responsibility to the company. That's not how it works.
Yeah.
This is a 100% you're all in or you're not in at all.
Talked about from a different perspective because mm-hmm. I think Brené Brown did a really good job of this yeah. this particular one. If you imagine that there's an activity as a couple that you have to accomplish and it takes 100 energy units.
Mm-hmm.
And I come and I have 30,
uh-huh.
and my wife brings 70. We've both brought 100 of what we have,
mm-hmm.
right? And other times she might have 20 and I have 80.
Yeah,
right. And so, like, I don't want you to think like sometimes with the numbers we can kind of get confused here. It's like you're not giving 200% to everything. It means that you're completely committed with everything that you can commit.
I'm good.
I think those cookies made you sneeze. I might leave that in, just so you know.
Yeah. Okay. That is sneeze.
Anyway, so this idea is that we bring whatever we can, but there are seasons where, like, if you're working 60 hours a week,
mm-hmm.
and then you're also like doing X, Y, and Z, you may only have 20 energy, and your spouse is picking you up on the other side.
Yeah.
That's partnership. That's 100% on both of you committing yeah. to each other.
Yeah.
Right. And I the only reason I wanted to caveat that is because I think somebody can hear that and be like, they're like, well, what about when I'm tired? And I was like, yeah, you're going to be tired.
Yeah.
You're going to be tired. And that's what being a partnership is about.
Yeah.
And so like this idea, okay, coming back to God is that God is saying like, hey, come be here 100%. Like
mm-hmm.
justification, salvation, redemption, all handled through the person of Jesus Christ. You trust on that. We're good. Now let's go live life together.
Yeah.
Right? I want to read you, because we just came out of James in chapter 2. He makes a statement. He says, "Was not our father, James 2, was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar?" That's your test of faith.
Mm-hmm.
"You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did."
Mm-hmm.
"And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend." Was it the action that made Abraham's faith possible? Or let me rephrase that. Was it his the action that actually justified Abraham? No. It was his faith.
Mm-hmm.
His faith justified, and then it became real when he put it into action.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be really careful not to mix those up.
Yeah.
It sounds like a nuance, and it's not. I just want to read this from the book of Hebrews so you guys kind of know what is going on in the rest of Scripture. In chapter 11, where we're talking about the hall of faith, it says, "By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise." Mm-hmm. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sands on the seashore.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. One of the things with this covenant that I think you have to take into consideration, too, is the location in Scripture where it's put.
Right.
So Genesis 12 through 22 is kind of like the main passages where you're going to find elements of this covenant. Mm-hmm. But what happens right before then? You have Genesis 11, you have the Tower of Babel.
Mm-hmm.
And Genesis 6, you have Genesis 6 through 9, you have the story of Noah mm-hmm. and the flood, right? Genesis 3, you have the fall of mankind. So you have three different stories where you have mankind wanting to be like God.
Yeah.
Right? Adam and Eve being like, we're going to be like God in the same knowledge and understanding. Noah, the flood happening because mankind was so evil in every intention that they're still striving to be their own gods, right? Babel and 11, mm-hmm. same thing. We're going to be like God.
Right. We're going to raise our mm-hmm. all the way up to the heavens.
Mm-hmm. So you contrast like this human desire with what is God's desire in this covenant.
Right.
His desire is to be with us. So there's a huge difference. Like a lot of times, culturally in America, a lot of times we want to be like something.
Mm-hmm.
We have role models. We have aspirations. Mm-hmm. We want to be this. We want to be that. We want to do this. We want to do this. Meanwhile, God's saying, I just want to be with you.
It's interesting when you consider Genesis 1 through 11. We talked about this and we linked the Bema podcast episode, but where they talk about that Genesis 1 through 11 is actually a large chiasm.
Mm-hmm.
And at the center of the chiasm, if you've talked in past mirroring text that comes to a central point, at the center chiasm between 1 and 11 is a name, and it's the name Noah,
mm-hmm.
which his name means he rests.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's interesting to me that immediately he goes and tells a story about, right after this chiasm, talking about how all of creation is about resting in God,
mm-hmm.
right? About finding your identity in God. He finally finds somebody, he just says to go, and he goes, and he says, this is going to happen, and he believes him,
mm-hmm.
and it's credited to him as righteousness. Like, we're seeing a person who learns how to rest on the word of God
yep.
and trust.
Mm-hmm.
Not perfectly,
mm-hmm.
because Abraham was far from perfect.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of stories. Go check out season one. There's lots of stories that we have.
Abraham messed up plenty.
But he was a person who learned how to trust the story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so the point being of this covenant is this is God coming back. It's God coming back to a similar creation story where he's saying, no, I want to be with you.
Yeah.
We're creating this new, right? So if you're listening and you're thinking like, man, like this covenant sounds big. It sounds like there's a lot of responsibility on me. No, the responsibility is on God. Your responsibility in this covenant is to be with God.
Yeah.
That's your responsibility in it.
One of the reasons we've talked about and many people have talked about, so it's not new, is that understanding that Jesus was a Jewish Messiah,
mm-hmm.
right? If you actually read in the book of Matthew, I want to point out right in the genealogy, right at the beginning, they name him as the son of two people.
Yeah.
It says Jesus, the son of Abraham,
mm-hmm.
right? And the son of David,
mm-hmm.
right? And of course, he's the son of Joseph too, but yeah. It's listed as the son of Abraham. So, like Matthew being written to a Jewish audience, he's telling them exactly who Jesus is coming and what covenants he's stepping into.
Yeah.
They know exactly when they say son of Abraham.
Yep.
Okay. He's walking into the Abrahamic covenant.
Yep.
Son of David.
Yep.
He's walking in the Davidic promise.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And we're not there yet. We'll get there. But Jesus comes and he actually embodies these. And then so when Paul actually goes back here, he's like, now cast your identity onto Jesus and mm-hmm. his faithfulness.
Yeah.
And rest,
yep.
find your worth in the completed work of Jesus Christ.
Yep.
And go and live out these promises
mm-hmm.
that are meant to bless the entire world and bring the kingdom of God crashing down.
Yep. That's all I got.
That's all I got. Send us your thoughts, comments, concerns, anything that you have. If we tickled your brain somewhere in here and you're like, oh, that's a cool thing, send it to us in a message or a comment underneath.
Sorry, tickled your brain?
Yeah. Do you not tickle people's brain? Is that not something you do? Apparently, that's just a thing I do. So if you heard something and you're like, man, that's really cool, or hey, I don't know about that, like, could you clarify? Send us an email, comment underneath one of our videos. We always welcome people talking to us as long as they're not being weird.
Or if you want Ben to stop saying tickling your brain.
I might get some text messages, actually, on that one specifically. But until next time, we've loved talking to you guys, and we'll talk to you next time.
And that's a wrap for today's episode of Love and Context. We hope you enjoyed this engaging conversation and gained valuable insights into the powerful message of love within the Bible. We'd love to hear from you and continue the conversation. Connect with us by sending us your questions, thoughts, and suggestions to loveandcontext@gmail.com. We greatly appreciate your feedback and ideas for future episodes. Stay connected with us on social media for updates, behind-the-scenes content, and additional resources. You can find us on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and Facebook at Love and Context. Don't forget to hit that follow button to stay up to date with the latest episodes and join our growing community.
Thank you for being part of the Love and Context family. Remember, love is at the heart of it all. Until next time, keep seeking wisdom, embracing love, and living out your faith in the context of today's world.